Welcome back to the Beyond the OPS Baseball Podcast. As always, I will be your host, Ethan, and if you haven't checked out my first episode, please check it out. I pretty much cover every single signing or acquisition in the offseason so far, 20-plus names, and there is a deep dive on at least five or six of the players. So if you haven't checked it out, please go check it out. Today's episode, I want to highlight one big move that the Rays made, and it is a move that I was pretty much hoping the team would make 2 months ago. I had a short little deep dive on why I wanted the Rays to get Danny Jansen. I included a lot of his advanced profiles, and the Rays actually got Danny Jansen, which is a really, really big boost to how poor they were in terms of catchers for last year. Before we get into Danny Jansen, I want to read something that was on the Tampa Bay Times that I think is very beneficial to this acquisition. Good enough that Jansen, who also got a recruiting call from X-Ray and former Jays teammate Kevin Kiermaier, turned down more money and years elsewhere to agree the next morning to a one-year $8.5 million deal that became official Thursday. The Rays filled their biggest need, getting a proven right-handed hitting catcher who can boost their offense, play strong defense, and provide some clubhouse leadership. I absolutely love everything about this. Danny Jansen was willing to come to the Rays for less money and only on a one-year deal. And this is the guy that we'll take a deep dive into in a little bit that can provide exceptional value for the Rays, especially for $8.5 million. To put it into perspective, Gary Sanchez, who I think is probably a tier below Danny Jansen, I think got $8.5 million as well from the Orioles. But why is Danny Jansen such a good and valuable pickup for $8.5 million? Well, Jansen, in my opinion, provides premier pop behind the plate and easily is one of the best pitch blockers in Major League Baseball. Last year, Jansen definitely had a down year. In 324 plate appearances, he had 9 home runs, 24 RBIs, and had a slash line of 205, 309, 349 with a 658 OPS. However, I did look into his advanced profiles and a little bit of some positive signs that he actually had last year and definitely earlier in his career in that 2022-2023 stretch. However, last year, definitely a down year. You saw an increase in walk rate from 7.6% to 12.2%, a decrease in K rate by almost 2%, and he hit the ball in the air more. For any Rays fans that are not familiar with Danny Jansen, there was a pace that he had, I think in 2022 or 2023, he was on pace for, I think, 40 home runs. It's just he can't really stay on the field. Danny Jansen provides an elite potential for pop behind the plate. And if you're seeing an increase in launch angle and him hitting the ball in the air at a greater degree, there's going to be more fly balls that are leaving the yard in Steinbrenner Field next year. In 2022 and 2023, he was a premier power hitting catcher, but he can't stay healthy. 2022, 248 plate appearances with 15 home runs. 2023, 301 plate appearances with 17 home runs. And there was a span in 2023 where he did this in 142 games, 30 home runs, 92 RBIs, and a 128 OPS plus. So from 2022, I think the second half going into 23, where pretty much he was kind of playing around a full season, 30 home runs and 92 RBIs is pretty much unheard of as a catcher. You're looking at like William Contreras numbers, Salvador Perez numbers, and Salvador Perez pretty much is splitting time between catching and first base. Pretty much a majority of his time was playing first base last year. So like I said, Jansen, premier pitch blocker, and when he's on the field, I mean, you're looking at easily over, I mean, at least you want to get at least 100 games out of him. You could see potentially 20 to 25 home runs from Danny Jansen. I want to look at 2022. He was especially elite, being 80th percentile or better in ex-WOBA, expected batting average, expected slugging, average exit velocity, barrel percentage, hard hit percentage, chase percentage, and obviously blocks above average. and definitely playing in George Steinbrenner Field. I've already done a similar kind of breakdown on the park metrics and how it affects Rays players, but it is a much friendlier park for lefties and righties as well in Danny Jansen's case. But why was this move so beneficial for the Rays? For anyone that watched the Rays last year, I know a lot of you guys listening are Rays fans, but if you guys are just fans of another team, the Rays catchers, especially in the second half, it was absolutely brutal. There was pretty much no production behind the plate. Alex Jackson was great defensively. He definitely helped with Taj Bradley's overall success last year, especially that dominant stretch where he had one of the best ERAs, or actually the best ERA in a two-month stretch. And Ben Woodford had a really hot start to begin the season, and then he kind of faltered towards the second half. But what did the Rays catchers do in the second half? In 82 games, 30% K rate, a 168 batting average, 242 on base, 248 slugging. They were 27th in WRC plus at 45. They had six barrels in the second half, which was 29th, a 3.9% barrel percentage, 27th. They were last in hard hits, and they were 24th in F4 at 0.1, so barely, I mean, above average. Not even average, barely above just the bare minimum that you could produce at the MLB level. If Danny Jansen even has sort of a year that is similar to 2023 and 2024, maybe a mixture of that, maybe like a 1.105, a 1.06 WRC plus, 15 to 16 home runs while being a good game caller and a good catcher behind the plate, that is an immense improvement of what the Rays got last year with Rene Pinto, with Alex Jackson, with Logan Driscoll. It's a huge improvement already over that. And I also want to point out one thing that the Rays have been pretty good at, especially acquiring catchers via trade or free agents. In 2018, Wilson Ramos had a 129 WRC plus, career high at the time. I know a lot of you guys remember 2019 Travis d'Arnaud. His 108 WRC plus was the highest in three seasons at the time when he came over to the Rays. And in 2021, pretty much the last time the Rays have had a very, very good offensive catcher, Mike Zeno's 136 WRC plus is a career high. And then even looking at last year, I know Ben Woodford had a very poor second half, but his 87 WRC plus, which is below league average, I will say, is still a career high. But what does Danny Jansen do that really sets him apart from other catchers and even sometimes other players in Major League Baseball? Against fastballs in his entire career, a 357 xWOBA, 90 exit velocity, and a 18.8% whiff percentage. Basically, he absolutely hammers fastballs. Jansen in 2022 absolutely killed the fastball. 308 batting average, 600 slugging, 426 wOBA, and a 93.3 exit velocity. And he also saw a 3.3% increase in first pitch strikes in 2024. So basically, Danny Jansen is getting more first pitch strikes. He's still getting a pretty heavy dose of fastballs. If he is able to be somewhat aggressive, or even just more aggressive than he was last year, you could see a huge increase in production, especially gaining the confidence that, you know, the Rays sat down with him, had breakfast with him, and the Rays actually pursued him, had Kevin Kiermaier give him a call and was like, hey, you know, we really like your offensive prowess, we really like your leadership, we really like you on this ball club. Danny Jansen could have a huge year with the Rays. In his 162 game average, 24 home runs, 71 RBIs, 419 slugging with pretty much a league average OPS plus at 99, easily 20 home runs with 90 to 100 games played. 2022, like I said, 72 games, 15 home runs. 2023, 86 games, 17 home runs. If you just average, you know, out around 100 games for those spans, it's 22 and 23 home runs, which is absolutely unbelievable. For especially how poor the Rays were in their catching department last year. I think Danny Jansen really provides an unbelievable upgrade over what the Rays had last year, and I think he can really mix well just the overall makeup of the team. He seems like a really, really good guy. We saw it even last year with the Red Sox when he had his home run celebration. He'd put like the bear paws up, and he was really into that. But this move was something that I really wanted the Rays to do. It was said 2 months ago on my Twitter account. For those of you that aren't following, that is OPS_baseball. And I couldn't be more happy with the Rays upgrading a catcher. And like we've already highlighted in this podcast, the Rays at acquiring catchers have a very good track record of success after they have came and played with the organization. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to record a shorter video. Definitely some will range between, you know, 10 to 40 minutes, depending on what it is, just to kind of, you know, highlight a player or a team. But I just kind of wanted to hop on the mic and give my inputs on Danny Jansen. I think he is a, you know, fantastic acquisition just because of the premier pop, great blocker behind the plate. And I mean, for only $8.5 million, especially with this inflated market, I think this is something that the Rays were really looking into Danny Jansen on, and I'm really glad that they were able to pull the trigger. But that's pretty much for this episode. I just kind of wanted to cover Danny Jansen in just kind of a small glimpse. If you haven't checked out my first podcast video, it will be just below this one, pretty much just highlighting every free agent or trade that happened in the MLB offseason so far. But I really just appreciate all the support already on the first episode. It's doing a lot more numbers than I thought it would. And like I said, if you are not following me on X, I am very active posting Rays-related content as well as other MLB content, threads, daily analytics, just cool, fun player stats and splits, especially going into the season. I pretty much will do breakdowns on every single pitcher and a lot of players that are standing out. So give me a follow, OPS_baseball on X. And please drop any suggestions in the comment box, or if you have clicked the link on my Twitter account, please drop any comments or feedback, and please don't be afraid to DM me. But I really appreciate you guys tuning into this episode, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.